Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
So this morning, I want to talk about the cross. Now, as excited as we are about the Haven Cross and how it has already ministered to people and touched lives, that's not the cross I want to talk about today. We're grateful for symbolic crosses all across the world and the one that's right here on our property. But the most important cross of all is the cross that Jesus Christ was crucified on. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, the writer to the church at Corinth makes sure that those people in that church, in that fellowship, were reminded that wisdom does not come from man. As smart as people can be, very high IQ, that's not what we're talking about. And they needed to know as a church, it's not about knowledge. It's not about information, it's about transformation. There's a huge difference. Knowledge can puff up, can cause one to be prideful. And so he was letting the church at Corinth reminding them not to allow the things of the world and the community. And it was a wicked place as far as the culture to drift into the church. So it's not about wisdom, it's not about intellect. Though it's good to go to school, gain knowledge, but never allow that to be prideful in a person's life. And that's what he was reminding them. This was a community in Corinth that was, I would say, much like New Orleans. Now, New Orleans is not all bad. They have good food in New Orleans. They have some good churches and ministries in New Orleans. And most of us are aware of that. Franklin Avenue with Fred Luter, who was once the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, has a great work in New Orleans. So it's not all bad, but there's some wickedness. There's some cultural differences in New Orleans that are unlike other places that can be hard. It can be difficult to stand up for Jesus. Well, that's what Corinth was like. And as he addresses the church at Corinth here in chapter 1, he says some things before verse 18, but here's what he says in verse 18. He says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Listen, the cross changes everything for us. And so today we're reminded on this Easter Sunday morning here at East Haven 2024 about what the cross has done for us. As believers, if you've entered into a relationship of Jesus Christ, this might be just a general reminder that don't ever get over your salvation experience. Be thankful, 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 and keep on moving and growing because you're not home yet. It may be that you're here. Maybe you have a touch of religion. There's some reason you're here. And it could be the Holy Spirit is drawing you to himself so that today is the day of salvation. Don't prolong. Listen closely to what Christ has done for you. If you have your listening sheet, we're going to look at three things about how the cross changes everything. First of all, we're going to look at the message of the cross. Billy Graham once said, the cross shows us the seriousness of our sin, but it shows us the immeasurable love of God. Ephesians 2:8-9, for example, says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and this not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is something that God has allowed us to receive, if we will, as a gift. We don't have to work for it. The reason we do good things is because we're saved. And it's a thank you, thank you, thank you to Jesus. That's why you come to the church. There's so many one another's. Encourage one another. Admonish one another. Grow with one another. But it might be you need to be reminded of the gospel in a nutshell, the salvation gospel. So let's use an acrostic that some of us in the room are familiar with because we learned this particular outline years ago. F-A-I-T-H, faith. The F could stand for forgiveness. The Bible says in him, meaning Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. The A could stand for available. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But it's not automatic. The Bible says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says the demons believed and trembled intellectually, but they certainly never put their faith and trust and surrendered to Christ. And so it's more than intellectual knowledge, F-A-I. It is impossible. Folks, it is impossible for God to allow sin into heaven. God is a holy God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We are sinners. We are depraved. We are wicked. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So if God is holy and we are sinners, there's only one way. There's only one bridge, and it never falls down. It is the bridge of Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him. F is forgiveness, is for forgiveness. A is for available. I is for impossible. T is for turn. This is very important. It means to repent. You're going this way. Well, I'll go to church every now and then. Well, I'll teach Sunday school. You know what? I'll see if I can't serve it as an office. Well, I'll be baptized. Well, I'll help the widows and the widowers. I'll do all these good things. I'll obey the Ten Commandments. All those things can be good, but none of those things will get you to heaven. They just won't. If righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Repentance is realizing, ding, 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 ding. I'm a sinner, and I've been trusting the wrong things. I've been going in the wrong direction. I've been in church all my life, but I've never had Jesus. And you repent of your sin, and dear God, you say, I surrender all to you I owe. I am putting my faith and trust in you alone. And you trust Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, and you trust him with everything. You may not know all there is to know about all there is to know. We continue to grow in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you know enough to know I am a sinner. Jesus died on the cross for my sin, and by faith, I am putting my faith and trust in him. And that is what repentance is. You are surrendering, you are trusting in him. And it is the greatest decision, just like we said when Ruby was baptized, that you will ever make. And then the H stands for heaven. Now, folks, it's not just eternity. That's going to be good. And that's going to be a long time compared to our time here in the world, on earth. For my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But it's also for here. John 10:10. Says the thief comes to kill and destroy. The enemy wants to destroy your life. He hates you. He hates me. And when we give our life to Christ, he may ramp it up even more to try to destroy our witness and make us miserable and lose our joy and not fulfill our purpose. But Jesus says in John 10:10 that he came to give us abundant life. I am come that you might have life, and you have it more abundantly. That's what faith is. Forsaking all, I trust him. And if you've never made that decision, I pray that today you will make that on Easter Sunday morning. That is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of the cross, in a nutshell. But let's go a little bit further. Let's look at the misunderstanding of the cross. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Let's camp there for just a minute. John MacArthur once said, God treated Jesus on the cross as if he lived your life so he could treat you as if you lived his. That's what Christ has done for us. He was perfect, the perfect Lamb, Son of God. And they crucified him. Here's what foolishness means. In the original language, it means moron or moronic. Maybe when you were growing up like me, every once in a while, people had the nerve. How are you a moron? And maybe everyone said, why we think that about other people? The foolishness of Christ. It says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Those who have not come into a relationship. I am saved. I am saved. I am being saved. I will be saved. And while we're here in between, it's the sanctification process where we're growing in Christ. And some look at that and say, what are you talking about? I do not understand the message of the cross. You guys are moronic. I don't get it. But here's what Psalm 14:1 says about those. And Adrian Rogers used to say, this is their holiday. Only fools say in their hearts, there is no God. And guess what day that is? Tomorrow. Oh, don't celebrate that holiday. If at some point in your life or at this point in your life, you've never trusted Christ. That's not really what April Fool's Day means, but it's a reminder of us that we don't want to be foolish if we're hesitating and we're waiting and we're waiting. I'm just not ready yet. I got to clean my life up. You will never clean up your life enough to come to Christ because of your good works. It's because of his finished work. But we must be gracious and understand that not everybody has come to that place. Maybe they've been blinded. So we need to be careful not to be too hard. We were once blinded by our sinfulness. Here's what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. John 10:30. I, Jesus said, and the Father are one. There are many reasons that people will prolong putting their faith in Christ. We don't have time to delve into all that apologetics means and defending the faith and explaining the reasons or excuses that people give. But we got enough time to go over too. Here's some of the things that people say or do and their reasons for not coming to Christ. Here's one. Some people want miraculous signs that fit their flawed motives. Oh, Jesus. Let's say they go out here to the Haven Cross. Jesus, if you would just in front of me, it's just us out here. If you would just knock that cross down and then put it back up, I would believe. That'd be great. Do you know that there were religious people in the day when Jesus lived that said, oh, Jesus, if you'll only do this, and you'll only do that. And oftentimes Jesus would do miracles, and it still wasn't enough. Listen, the greatest miracle of all is when Jesus Christ comes into the life of a wretched sinner and changes them for good. That is the greatest miracle of all. The fact that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, you don't have to park your brain to believe that. Study it. Look at it. Look at what non-believers say, historians say. No, but sometimes we don't want to take the time to do that. But if we did, we might fall into Christ just like C.S. Lewis. Just like others of the faith have along the way when they were trying to prove that Christianity wasn't true. Like Lee Strobel, who's still alive today and has written numerous books on apologetics. Some people want miraculous signs that fit their flawed motives. They're trying to justify their sinfulness because they don't want to admit that they don't have it all together and they can't understand it all. Listen. God is omniscient. He knows all. You don't, and I don't. And we put our faith and trust in him. And that leads me to the second thing. Some people want everything to make sense in their finite minds. C.S. Lewis once was not a believer. He studied it. He was going to try to help people see. No, it's not real. And this is what he said, because he fell into a relationship with Christ. I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. Not because I see it, because by it I see everything else We are finite in our thinking. He is infinite. He is God. He has all knowledge. He is knowledge. There was never a time he was not. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He has always existed. He has always been. What if you could figure him out? Why would we need him? We are finite. We are not God. But we can figure out enough if this is all there is to know about all there is to know. I don't know about you, but I might have just a little bitty stitch right here. Probably not that of knowledge. But some people say, well, I just don't believe it. It's just too great. Well, that's God. He's great. And he knew we were finite. It didn't need to be too hard for me. Probably didn't need to be too hard for you and most people. So at some point, that misunderstanding or justification for our sin or pride that keeps us from coming to Christ needs to be set aside. Why? So you'll fulfill your purpose for being here. Time is short. It goes just like that. You know that bridge that fell down this past week? Boom. Like a house of cards. Life, realistically, just like that. Don't prolong what Christ has done for you on the cross. If there's something else you're struggling with, talk to somebody today. Or ASAP. There's the misunderstanding of the cross. There's the message, but oh. Thirdly, there's the magnitude of the cross. For the message of the cross is foolishness. Ironic to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. In the original language, in the Greek, that's the same word as dynamite. It is powerful. Even the most powerful stick of dynamite doesn't compare to the dynamite that comes inside of us through the Holy Spirit to live out the Christian life. Galatians puts it this way. In chapter 6, verse 13, may I never, verse 14, boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, I to the world. I'm telling you, this is why Easter Sunday is so special for us. And some of us, though we may not be accustomed to running the aisles, on Easter Sunday, it's almost like I wish I'd worn my tennis shoes so I could run the aisle. Some of those the songs we heard, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. We understand the power of the gospel and how it makes a difference in our lives. And I'd like to go back to that passage where John outran Simon Peter in John chapter 20, verse 4. After Jesus had rose from the dead and all of these different activities were going on, this is what it says. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He wanted everybody to know, I'm faster than him. And I want everybody to know, he was excited. They were both excited. Apostle John, he must have had tissues on. He outran Simon Peter. He wanted everybody for all eternity to know, I outran that sucker. Why? They were both excited. They were both running. And for us as Christians, this is why we celebrate. There are some things that God does for us. He stepped into our life at some point and gave us an extra pep in our step. First of all, he gives us purpose. In Ecclesiastes, it says there is a God-shaped void. Some people try to fill it through a person. Might be a wife. Ain't gonna happen. Some people try to do it through a grandchild. They're special. Ain't gonna happen. Some people try to do it through some type of chemical dependency. It ain't gonna happen. That wears off. Some people try to do it through education or a job. It ain't gonna happen. There is only one thing that fills the void that every human being has, and that is Jesus Christ. And so he gives us a purpose in life. So many people accomplish great things. And some of them, just like Tom Brady, several years back after winning a number of Super Bowls, it was like, is this all there is? No, there's not just ball. There's not just music. There's not just family, though as special as they are. There's not just, it's Jesus. He gives us a purpose for living life. And then there's the people of God. Jesus summarized it when they tried to trip him. He says, of all the commandments, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love others as yourself. There is something about people. People, people, people. Don't you love the people? Well, we don't always, do we? I know there's some don't always love me. I can't quite figure it out. But they don't love you always. And we want to have friends. We want to do what's right. We got to fear God. We got to do what's right. But don't you love the people? Don't you just like to hang out with people? You know, some people are strange. My wife sometimes tells me I'm a little strange. I don't know what's wrong with her. She's probably the strange one. People. And I just love, don't you? I mean, God, we love God. He gives us a love for people. He said, well, I'll tell you what, I've taken that personality test. And I'm over here on the introvert side, and some of you folks are way over here and somewhere in between. You know, there's nothing in here about a personality test, as good as those things can be, to help us understand how we're wired, how to work with different people. But some might use that as an excuse, whether you're on either spectrum, not to identify with the people of God. God has given us each other. And sometimes it's hard to live with each other. But are we grateful for all the different gifts and personalities and experiences that God gives us so we can be with one another? He wired us that way. We're not wired and shaped to be alone. God has given us people and great people through the years. And then a profession. He gives us a career. And here's what that means. No matter what you do, is a career path. And those that are in high school or college, they're taking classes. They're trying this out. They're trying that out, which is so good to shadow somebody, try to find out, God, how have you wired me? What do you want me to do? I encourage that. I've only had one high school student through the years officially took a high school day when I was in Clinton years ago. He was at Clinton High School where I went. He's like, Pastor Howe, I wanna shadow you one day. I said, oh, Bo, that would be great. I would love that. So there's been others that have shadowed me and shadowed you, but that was an official day. Do you know that that man did not become a pastor? Bo's doing something else, but he loves Jesus. So here's my point. We're all in ministry. You coach, president of a bank, you're an engineer, you're an attorney, you're a nurse, a salesperson, whatever it is, you need to find out what profession, what career, what ministry God wants you to be in, and you use that as a platform to bring people to Christ by your example of just being abiding in Christ and loving Him and shining the light of Christ and at times speaking the word of Christ as you have opportunities. He gives us a pep in our step. He makes us like we've got tennis shoes and run like John did when he said, he pointed out he was faster than the other disciple. He gives us purpose. He gives us people. He gives us a profession, and he helps us with our problems. And boy, do we still have problems. They might even be magnified as a believer. Don't believe. The health and wealth gospel, the one that says, well, if you'll just give thousands of dollars, you'll have no more problems. And that's the truth. That's not the truth. James says that we are blessed and we have all kinds of problems. Why? Because we realize we cannot make it in this life and have abundant life without trusting even more in Jesus Christ. Oh, God, help me. I never thought I would deal with this. Help me, Lord, to walk through this difficult time in my life. Here's what somebody said about faith. Faith doesn't always take you out of the problem. It takes you through the problem. Faith doesn't always take away the pain. It gives you the ability to handle the pain. Faith doesn't always take you out of the storm. It calms you in the midst of the storm. And it helps us bear the fruit of the Spirit. And I don't know how people go through this world, through the storms of life, without Christ. He helps us. And that's the benefit, the power of the message of the cross. For the message of the cross, foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. And then Galatians says this, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives within me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This past week, I looked at my little Mustang and I thought, I need to wash this car. It's nasty. Man, it's amazing how before I was before I was married, I used to wash my car all the time. I wanted Kelly to be impressed with my shiny car. I'd get in there and vacuum that car. But I retired from that years ago once we said I do. Kelly, I'm sorry. You didn't know that, did you? I served my time there. So I thought, there's this car wash. Y'all seen it? It's on the boulevard. Isn't that what we call it? It's on the boulevard. I'm telling you, you go through there. And so I thought, I'm going to take my Mustang, my convertible Mustang, through the car wash. And I went there. He said, he guided me through it, which I was thankful. Because I might put the wrong car in there and not know where to put the money. I'm a little challenged in those kind of ways, in a lot of ways. And there was a man there. He walked me through it. You put your car in. You know what I did not do? I just wanted my car wash. I didn't say, now, wait a minute, sir. What are your credentials? You gone to car wash school? Now, wait a minute, sir. You said this is $10 or whatever. Let me see the study you've done on how much it costs. This is a smaller car. This isn't a large car. We're not talking about a van here. Maybe there ought to be a... No, I didn't ask all that. And you know what else I didn't do? I didn't say, now, wait a minute. What kind of soap are you using? Are you using Dove soap or... What kind of soap? And is it going to come off? And if they're drying, well, how am I going to know? You put it in neutral, why can't I put it in park? You know what I didn't do? I just didn't argue with the guy. I just wanted my car washed. And I put it in neutral, and they did all the things. And I thought, you know, because it's a convertible, sometimes I think, man, that dryer's going to just suck that roof all of it's going, and I'm going to be stuck up in there. And that is always something I always think about. But I survived on the other side, and I had a clean car. You see, Jesus says, I will clean you up. You've got to trust me. You've got to put your faith in me from the moment of salvation till you enter heaven when you're totally clean. Trust me. I lived a perfect life. I died on a cross, and I rose again for you. I love you. Trust me. Dear God, thank you. Thank you for providing a way for us to have abundant life and eternal life in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for cleaning us up. And that you do that through the sanctification process, not because we're trying to earn our way to heaven, but because we're going. I pray, Lord, that we'll never get over the life-changing message of the cross. And I pray if there's anybody that needs to make a life-changing decision or just sing and reflect and be grateful for a decision they've already made, that will be done in the next few minutes. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, sing. If you need to make a public decision, you've seen the worship guide. We'll have some staff members here. You respond as God leads you.